Jason Robillard isn't waiting for the science to catch up. Robillard has found what works for him: barefoot running. He's a barefoot ultra-marathon runner and founder of Barefoot Running University. He told Steve Paulson about the technique and why he's a fan.
Why are you so gung-ho about barefoot running? I mean, it seems that Nike and other companies have perfected the science of taking care of our feet. Well, what's wrong with shoes?
Well, my history with barefoot running comes from injury backgrounds. When I first took up running races in a competitive sense, I experienced a fair number of injuries that are typical running injuries. In my quest to try to solve the injury riddle, I came across some research about barefoot running, tried it out, and it did indeed solve my injury problems. Since that time, I've tried to spread the word to other people that may be in a similar situation.
So why is it healthier to run barefoot?
Generally, it comes down to an impact issue. Most barefoot runners would agree barefoot running in and of itself isn't necessarily the reason there's a reduced injury rate. It has more to do with your form. Barefoot runners tend to take shorter steps. They tend to land with less force. Essentially, you're using your body as a shock absorber, your ankle, your feet, your knees, your hips, versus, you know, 1 inch of some sort of rubber compound in the sole of your shoe.
Isn't the problem when people run with shoes, typically they land on their heels, and that's what causes a lot of the injuries?
Yeah, they land on their heels, and they will land slightly in front of their center of gravity, which creates all kinds of problems. It creates a lot of shock, and that shock will be transmitted up your leg, to your knees, to your hips, to your back. We refer to it as overstriding. If you watch a typical road race, you'll see that quite a bit. It's pretty frequent.
So when you run barefoot, then, you land on a different part of your foot?
Yeah, you land more on the mid, what we call the midfoot, pretty much the area between your heel and your toe, maybe slightly towards the front, and then slowly or gently allow your heel to touch the ground.
Do you run as fast when you run barefoot?
Yeah, I do. For most distances above like a 5K distance, I'll run noticeably faster barefoot.
And how do you explain that?
Probably efficiency. There's a fatigue factor. There's some research out there that suggests that barefoot running is about 5% more efficient as far as the amount of oxygen used. So you have that advantage. And also, there's just less stress on your body. I like to run really long distances, you know, ultra marathons, 50-mile, 100-mile races. And once you get up to that distance, you're taking so many steps during the race. If you don't have a very soft landing, there's a really powerful cumulative effect that comes into play.
Now, there's an obvious question here. It would seem that you have to have really tough feet. I mean, especially if you're running in cities. There's glass around, there are pebbles, and then in the winter, there's snow. How do you deal with that?
As far as the debris, that's the number one question that I get from non-barefoot runners. You know, how do you avoid glass? How do you avoid dog droppings? I even get questions about how to avoid hypodermic needles, which always made me wonder where people run. But for the most part, we learn to avoid this stuff in our path. You develop a lot of skills as far as watching where you're going. It's almost like building eye-foot coordination. You develop almost an instinctive sense of knowing where your foot should land.
That sounds harder, though, than you're making it out to be. I mean, it sounds like you'd have to be constantly vigilant, and you'd have to be staring at the ground always right in front of you.
It does take a little bit of time, and it depends on the terrain that you're running on. Asphalt is very easy. Usually you can see any significant debris probably anywhere from 25 to 50 yards ahead. So you can fix your gaze at a fairly distant point. Trail running gets a little bit more difficult depending on how rough the trail is or how much, you know, if there's a lot of roots, if there's a lot of rocks. You do have to shorten that gaze down. But it's a skill you develop, and it doesn't take very long to develop those skills.
What happens if you do step on a piece of glass or a sharp twig?
The other skill that you develop is a very good tactile sense. And there's some people within the barefoot running community, myself included, that believe that it's almost like an instinct. If you step on something that would cause some sort of injury, it's almost as if your foot melts around the debris. If you step on something like a thorn or a sharp rock or a piece of glass, you'll instantly feel the pain from that and react by shifting your weight in such a way as to not press your foot down on that specific point.
What you're describing sounds like such a a physical, a tactile sense of running. I mean, this is not just getting from here to there. This is you are feeling all of this in your feet. I am wondering if this really changes the experience of running.
It does. One of the things that I've noticed about barefoot runners, as it increases in popularity, I see more and more barefoot runners. It's hard not to smile when you're barefoot running, even in really long races where your entire body may hurt. It's such a freeing sensation to run barefoot. It almost takes you back to your childhood.
Hmm. What I find puzzling about all of this is that we have had such advances in shoe technology over the last few decades, and shoes are getting more expensive. They are presumably getting more technologically proficient, and there are these high-priced running shoes. Isn't the whole point of those shoes to make it easier and safer to run?
You would think so. This is actually a very hotly debated topic between the shoe running population and the barefoot running population. Most barefoot runners would contend that shoes have been developed not based on any scientific evidence or any sort of research that will lead to a reduction in injuries. Most people will try on a pair of running shoes in the store. They'll have a store clerk that will maybe have them jog a few feet in front of the shoe display, and that's the extent that they have of trying out shoes. And most running shoes, when you try them on in the store, they feel very cushioned, very soft. It seems like it would be a very good, you know, it'd be something very good to run in.
Isn't it? I mean, isn't it better to have a more cushioned shoe?
Well, the idea is the more cushioning you have under your foot, the greater likelihood that your form is going to suffer. When you lose that tactile sensation of the ground and the proprioception of, you know, your foot position, you can do a lot of things as far as form that will lead to injury. The main one being you just land a lot harder.
So are there many elite runners who run barefoot? I mean, for instance, runners in the Olympics?
Not usually. This is another hotly debated topic of why there's not more elite runners that are running barefoot. Part of it probably has to do with the monetary advantage of having a shoe sponsorship deal. Probably part of it also has to do with performance. Once you're at an elite level and you know you're running at a very fast speed at any distance, there can be some advantage to having some sort of shoe on your foot. The interesting thing is to look at the shoes that are worn by, you know, Olympic runners. They tend to be very minimalist. They're racing flats. They have a thin sole. The heel isn't raised at all. They're very lightweight. They're definitely not the typical highly padded shoe that you find most recreational runners running in.
Do you find differences depending on what country you're looking at? I mean, Kenya, for instance, is famous for its long distance runners. Do they have different kinds of shoes, or are they more likely to run barefoot?
Well, the idea behind that seems to be many Kenyan runners start off at a young age running barefoot, more for financial reasons than anything else. Their running form is nearly identical to the running form that most barefoot runners use. So the idea behind that is, you know, from a very young age, they learned proper running form, presumably from running barefoot, and they're able to translate that into a high level of performance later on.
Do you see this as a growing movement, running barefoot?
Chris McDougall's book, Born to Run, really sort of energized the barefoot running movements. Prior to that book being published, the barefoot running movement was relatively small. It was widely scattered. We had a handful of really well-known barefoot runners that were sort of the leaders of a very small movement. Since that book has been published, the larger running community has really started to accept barefoot running. And more runners are turning towards it, if not running barefoot full-time, making a switch to more minimalist shoes, or even adding barefoot running as part of their running routine. You know, they'll do a few miles per week barefoot.
Jason Robillard is a barefoot ultramarathon runner and the founder of Barefoot Running University. He spoke with Steve Paulson.